Today we are looking at chapter 12 of 1 Samuel, and it has 25 verses. And the theme here is Samuel's farewell address. The chapter today under review is about Samuel's farewell speech, where he vindicated his integrity, reproved the Israelites for demanding a king, and warned them of the consequence of disobedience. The study focuses on Samuel's revelation of how the Lord has shown mercies in the past to the people of Israel and confirmed their sins by calling for thunder and rain in the time of wheat harvest. The study ends with Samuel urging the people of Israel to continue serving the Lord faithfully as he continues to intercede on their behalf. So let's look at Samuel's farewell address. First Samuel chapter 12, verse 1 to 3. And Samuel said unto all the people, Behold, I have hearkened unto your voice in all that you said unto me, and have made a king over you. And now, behold, the king walks before you, and I am old and gray-headed. And behold, my sons are with you, and I have walked before you from my childhood unto this day. Behold, here I am, witness against me before the Lord, and before his anointed. Whose ox have I taken? Or whose ass have I taken? Or whom have I defrauded? Whom have I oppressed? Or of whose hand have I received any bribe to blind my eyes therewith? And I will restore it you. In verse 1, Samuel represents our Lord Jesus Christ. Throughout the history of the people of Israel, the Lord has been their king. However, in asking for a king, in the previous chapter, the people of Israel were rejecting the rulership of the Lord Jesus. However, the Lord told Samuel to do according to what the people of Israel desired. That means to have a king rule over them. It was in obedience to the Lord's will that Samuel was appointed, Saul was appointed as king of Israel. Samuel agreeing to the demands of the people and giving them a king is therefore the Lord satisfying the desires of the people. There are times the Lord permits his people to have what they request with the view of showing them the deceitfulness of their hearts and minds and to fulfill a larger purpose. As we know, all things are going according to the counsel of his will. This implies that both good and evil are used by the Lord to fulfill his eternal purpose. Therefore, both day and night are the same in the sight of the Lord. First, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11 says, In whom also you have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who works all things after the counsel of his own will. Psalm 139, verse 12. Yea, the darkness hides not from thee, but the night shines as the day, and darkness and the light are both alike to thee. During the wilderness experience of the people of Israel, the Lord gave the people of Israel what they requested. But in the final analysis, he sent a wasting disease to destroy them. Psalm 106, verse 13 to 15. But they soon forgot his works. They did not wait for his counsel. But they had a wanton craving in the wilderness and put God to the test in the desert. And he gave them what they asked, but sent a wasting disease among them. Bringing a wasting disease among the people of Israel means that although they received the physical satisfaction for their request, they experienced severe spiritual decay. This was all to fulfill his purpose of rejecting the commonwealth of Israel and choosing us in him according to the riches of his mercies towards us. Romans chapter 11, verse 30 to 32 says, For as you in time past have not received God, believe God, but have now obtained mercy through their unbelief, even so have these also now not believed, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. For God has concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. Romans chapter 11, verse 33 to 36. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has given, who has been his counselor? Or who has first given to him, and he shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things. To whom be glory forever. Amen. We had also rebelled against the Lord, just like the people of Israel, when we became futile in our thinking. And therefore, the Lord gave us up to our desires. The Lord led us through this evil path, so that we shall come to see that our hearts are desperately corrupt. It is when we come to know that without the Lord's intervention, we cannot help ourselves, that the Lord comes with the spirit of his mouth and his brightness to lead us to himself, such that our evil cravings are destroyed through his judgment. Romans chapter 1, verse 21 to 24. For although they knew God and they did not honor him as God, or give him thanks, or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. Therefore, God gave them up in the lust of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves. This was the situation in which the people of Israel found themselves when they requested for a king, and the Lord gave them their heart's desire. Verses 2 and 3 focus on Samuel being a witness for Christ. The Lord has called us to become his witness, just like Samuel. Being his witness means living our faith through Christ-like behavior, service, and love, which serves as a living testimony. It is when we become witnesses of Christ that we can bear fruits that or which abides. John 15, 16 says, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruits, that your fruits should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you." 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 4 to 5. And they said, "Thou hast not defrauded us nor oppressed us, neither hast thou taken aught of any man's hand." And he said unto them, "The Lord is witness against you, and his anointed is witness this day, that you have not found aught in my hand." And they answered, "He is witness." These verses show us that we must indeed serve as the Lord witnesses during our time here on earth. This implies that our righteousness must be evident to all, not only to the household of faith, but to all outside the faith who come into contact with us. 1 Timothy 3:7 says, "Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil." We know from the word of the Lord that it is not in our power to learn righteousness. It is only the judgment of our flesh by the Lord that makes us to become like him, having no spot or wrinkle or blemish. This is what the Lord is working out within each of us to become like him. Revelation chapter 14, verse 4 and 5 says, "These," that is his elect, "are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goes. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. The Lord's righteous acts. 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 6 to 8. And Samuel said unto the people, "It is the Lord that advanced Moses and Aaron and brought your fathers out of the land of Egypt. Now therefore stand still, that I may reason with you before the Lord of all the righteous acts of the Lord, which he did to you and to your fathers. When Jacob was come into Egypt, and your fathers cried unto the Lord, then the Lord sent Moses and Aaron, which brought forth your fathers out of Egypt, and made them dwell in this place." Here in verse 6, we see Samuel reminding the Israelites of how the Lord intervened in their circumstances and brought up Moses and Aaron to lead their fathers in from bondage in Egypt. In our case, it is the Lord who is reminding us that he has raised his elect, represented by Moses and Aaron, to bring us out of our bondage to the flesh. Through what every joint supplies, we are able to come out of our bondage to the flesh. Ephesians 4:16 says, "From whom the whole body fitly joined together, compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, makes increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love." In verse 7, we see that what the Lord did in raising up Moses and Aaron to lead his people out of Egypt is called the righteous act of the Lord. The Lord coming to us to lead us out of the church system of this world, or Babylon, which is represented by Egypt here in verse 7, to become part of the church of Jerusalem above, or the firstborn, is all part of his righteous act towards us. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 12, 22 to 25. "But you are come into Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirit of just men made perfect, and to Jesus the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than the blood of Abel. See that you refuse not him that speaks. For if they escape not who refused him that spoke on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaks from heaven." First Samuel chapter 12, verse 9-11. "And when they forgot the Lord their God, he sold them into the hand of Sisera, captain of the host of Hazor, and into the hands of the Philistines, and into the hand of the king of Moab, and they fought against them. And they cried unto the Lord and said, 'We have sinned because we have forsaken the Lord and have served Baalim and Ashtaroth. And now deliver us out of the hand of our enemies, and we will serve thee.' And the Lord sent Zerubbabel and Bedan and Jephthah and Samuel and deliver you out of the hand of your enemies on every side, and you dwelled safe." When our attention is turned from the Lord, we become a prey to our flesh, symbolized by the Philistines. Sisera was the commander of the army of Jabin, king of Canaan. Both Sisera and the king of Moab in verse 7 represents the devil who empowers our flesh. The question is, how do we forget the Lord? It is usually during times of prosperity, comfort, and success that we forget about the Lord. This usually leads to self-reliance and pride instead of dependence on the Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 11 to 14 says, "Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God, in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwell therein, And when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thy heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord your thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Through the mercies of the Lord, he brought us to repentance as we cry to him for deliverance from our flesh. The Lord sends Jerubbaal, according to verse 11, to deliver us from bondage. Jerubbaal means let Baal content or compete. Baal means Lord or owner and was a Canaanite god which Israel frequently tend to worship. The first step in the Lord's deliverance from our flesh as we cry to him is to let the false doctrine in our hearts and mind, which empowers our flesh, represented here by as Baal, compete with the truth of the Lord's word. As a result, we are overcome by our flesh, giving the Lord the occasion that he is seeking to come into our lives with his judgment. Judges chapter 14, verse 1 to 4. And Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. And he came up and told his father and mother and said, I've seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore get her for me, wife. Then his father and mother said unto him, Is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren or among all my people that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said unto his father, Get her for me, for she pleased me well. But his father and his mother knew not that it was of the Lord that he sought an occasion against the Philistines. For at that time the Philistines had dominion over Israel. The Lord then sends Bidan, which means in judging. That is to say that the Lord comes to judge us. It is through this judgment that we are gradually delivered from our flesh. The Lord then sends Jephthah, which means he opens. It is through this judgment that the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven are open to us. Finally, the Lord sends Samuel, which is the name of God. In other words, the Lord comes to establish his throne in our hearts and mind. Acts chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must received until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets since the world began. First Samuel chapter 12, verse 12 to 15. And when they saw that Nahash, the king of the children of Ammon, came against you, you said unto me, Nay, but the king shall reign over us when the Lord your God was your king. Now therefore, behold the king whom you have chosen and whom you have desired, and behold, the Lord has set a king over you. If you will fear the Lord and serve him and obey his voice and not rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall both you and also the king that reigns over you continue the Lord, continue following the Lord your God. But if you will not obey the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the commandments of the Lord, then shall the hand of the Lord be against you, for it was against your fathers. Here in verse 12, we are given a reason why the Israelites wanted a physical king when the Lord was their king. It was because they wanted a physical king to fight their battles for them. When we are under the control of the flesh, we seek physical instead of spiritual reality to address the issues we face. However, in the wisdom of the Lord, the demand for a physical king was all part of the Lord's design to bring the people of Israel to an expected end. Verses 14 and 15 show us that our past mistakes are not relevant. What is important is to forget those things which are behind and focus on being obedient to our Lord God. That is when we experience his rulership in our walk with him. On the other hand, our refusal to submit to Christ will cause the hand of the Lord to be against us. Philippians 3, 13 to 15. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press forward towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be this minded. And if in anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 16 to 18. Now therefore stand and see this great thing which the Lord will do before your eyes. Is it not wheat harvest today? I will call unto the Lord, and he shall send thunder and rain, that you may perceive and see that your wickedness is great, which you have done in the sight of the Lord in asking you a king. So Samuel called unto the Lord, and the Lord sent thunder and rain that day. And all the people greatly feared the Lord and Samuel. In verse 16, the Lord is requesting us to stand still and see the great thing the Lord will do on our behalf. The great thing is our salvation, as we see the Lord destroy the old man of our flesh for us to become overcomers. Standing still means that the Lord is the one who does the work of destroying our flesh. Exodus chapter 14, verse 13 to 14 says, and Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. In verse 17, Samuel told the Israelites that in spite of the fact that no rain falls in the wheat harvest, he, the Lord, will thunder and rain to fall. We must remember that the Israelites in this study represent us when we were in the churches of this world or Babylon. In Babylon, the weather is just like the period of the wheat harvest. That is to say that there is no rain or the truth of the Lord's word. However, the Lord is assuring us, his elect, that he will bring in the truth of the word of the Lord because of our time of drought in Babylon. Isaiah chapter 28, verse 17 says, judgment also will I lay to the lion, and righteousness to the plummet. And the hail, that is the truth of his word, shall sweep away the refuge of lies. The waters shall overflow the hiding place. As shown in verse 17, the coming of thunder and rain during the wheat harvest was for the purpose of realizing that our wickedness is great before the Lord in asking for a king spiritually. What the Lord is telling us is that the truth of the Lord's word, which we experience after this drought in Babylon, is for the purpose of realizing that we were like beasts before the Lord when we thought we make our own decisions and therefore are kings of our own destiny. Psalm 73, verse 22. So foolish was I and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. In verse 18, the thunder and rain that day caused all the people to greatly fear the Lord and Samuel. Samuel here also represents the Lord's elect. It is as the Lord rains down on us the truth of his word, and also through his judgment or thunder, that we become a blessing to those who come into touch with us. They come to fear the Lord. In other words, our witness of Christ becomes more effective. First Samuel chapter 19, verse 21. And all the people said unto Samuel, pray for thy servants unto the Lord thy God, that we die not, for we have added unto all our sins this evil, to ask us a king. And Samuel said unto the people, fear not, you have done all this wickedness, yet turn not aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart, and turn ye not aside, for then should you go after vain things, which cannot profit or deliver you, for they are vain. in the fullness of time, our brothers and sisters will ask us to intercede on their behalf as we see the people requesting Samuel to pray for them. It is during this period that they will be aware of their sins and receive mercy, just as we have received mercy in this age. Again, Romans chapter 11, verse 30 to 32. For as you in time past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief, even so have these also now not believed, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. For God has concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. 1 Samuel 12, 23 to 25. For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it has pleased the Lord to make you his people. Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in season to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and the right way. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider how great things he has done for you. But if you shall still do wickedly, you shall be consumed, both you and your king. It is heartwarming to note that in verse 22, the Lord is assuring us that he will not forsake us because of his name's sake. Before the world was created, God had desired to have a people called by his name, that is his elect. Ephesians 1, 4 to 6 says, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved. In verse 23, Samuel assured the people of his intercession for them. As indicated earlier, Samuel represents the Lord, who is interceding on our behalf before the Father. Hebrews 7, 24 to 25. But this man, that is Jesus, because he continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come into God by him, seeing he ever lives to make intercession for them. If we are to receive the reward, then we must follow what Samuel said in verse 23 about the good and the right way to serve the Lord. We must fear the Lord and serve him in truth. As our understanding is enlightened to know the truth of the Lord's word, we automatically come to fear the Lord and serve him in truth. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. It is through his word that we come to appreciate the great things he has done for us, as mentioned in verse 24. On the other hand, as indicated in verse 25, if we do wickedly, we shall be consumed by the enemy, the devil. However, as Paul said, we are persuaded of better things on our behalf, that is, things that accompany our salvation. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 9 to 11. But beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown towards his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. Our confidence is not in ourselves, but in the fact that he who has begun a good work in us will see to its completion. Amen.